everybody, and welcome to another episode of the WizWid Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Drew, and with me, as always, are my co-host, Devin.
Hey, what's up? I have nothing today.
That's disappointing. And, Gush, our buddy Gush.
Hey, what's up? I'm gonna run a 5K tomorrow.
Are you?
That's a fact.
I really dropped the ball on this one. I should have made a witty comment about breaking an ankle.
So, Kush broke his ankle. Playing hockey.
Scoot. Gotta get one of those scooters.
He needs a scoot. He needs a scooter. Been a little bit. We took off for the All-Star break because it was boring. But it was better than the Pro Bowl. So there's that. Drew scored one.
Pro Bowl.
That was cool. Yeah, that was fun. But, you guys want to talk about anything for a second, or
no? I did not watch the All-Star.
You didn't miss much.
Not a second of it.
I saw the final game between the Metropolitan Division, and I honestly forget what the other division was.
I don't remember. It wasn't the Pacific. It was the Central. So there you
Central,
go.
Central, yeah, there you go. It wasn't really that. I mean, it was fun, I guess, for an All-Star game, but, like, they're never really that great.
What was that in the All-Star? What was her name? Kendall Coyne.
Oh, yeah. That was
in
cool.
The fastest skater competition. That was really cool.
And then I didn't see it.
Then she did Between the Benches with Pierre.
She did do Between the Benches with Pierre, and Pierre kind of...
That was awkward.
Talked to her like she was a baby.
Yep. Yeah.
It was that, weird.
There was another woman. Like, they had women competing in all of them, but they were kind of like this, like showing it off. And she did the passing challenge, and she won. But the NHL
yeah.
didn't recognize it. So she
yeah,
didn't
but
actually, but CCM did. Yeah,
CCM did.
CCM did. They paid her the $25,000 that she should have gotten from the NHL for actually having the fastest time. So good on CCM. But Flyers played some games though since the last time we were together, guys. And boy, have they played some pretty good hockey. We start out at home against Winnipeg, with a 3-1 win. Veroni, Konechny, JVR scored for Philadelphia. Winnipeg, Roslovich. Score for Winnipeg. Hart had 31 saves on 32 shots, so good game there. And then we moved to the Rangers, so we were away. 1-0 win. Lindblom, the lone goal scorer, was it like 28 seconds in? Something like that? No,
yeah.
Minute 40 in.
It was really early.
It was early.
Minute 40 in, Lindblom scored. It was the only goal scored. Stolarz, Stoli the goalie with a 38 save shutout, so good for him. Then we go to Boston. With a 3-2 win in overtime. Goal scorers for Philadelphia are Drew Lindblom, Sandheim with that overtime winner. Boston, Pasternak scored twice. Carter Hart, 23 saves on 25 shots. I will talk about this game a little bit. It was a good job by the Flyers because I believe my computers. Yeah, we were down 1-0 to start, down 2-1 after that. Midway through the third, Lindblom would score to send it to overtime, and Sandheim with an absolutely ridiculous snipe to win the game in overtime. How'd you guys feel about that game?
That was fun. The Sandheim snipe?
Yeah.
Very good. Also, Pasternak scored, so I got fantasy points for that. Carter Hart played very well, so I got fantasy points for that. It was a fun time.
Yeah, this was the game where all the goals Carter Hart let in were, like, on the power plays, and they were, like, cross-crease passes where Pasternak sniped them, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember actually, that was the first goal scored, Pasternak. Literally, they passed the puck through the slot, and he was sitting kind of like in the Ovechkin spot, and he missed the puck the first time, and then the Flyers literally let him try it again, like literally
yes.
like 10 seconds.
Oh
later.
My bad, that's not. We'll give it to you again. Tucker Rask almost stole that game though. He had 38 saves on 41 shots. Flyers were peppering him for a long time, and he was just standing tall.
But that Sandheim snipe, oh, it's like a beauty.
Oh yeah, I could watch that all day, every day.
He literally brought the puck, like, around the entire zone and then was like, all right, fuck it.
Just gonna kick the corner from, like, the top of the circle. No big deal.
I'm just gonna take care of this for you guys.
Don't worry
about it.
I was literally about to complain, like, before, because the Flyers weren't really looking that great in that OT period. And then it was right before that shift. I'm like, all right, this feels like every other Flyers OT, like, shift ever. And then Sandheim brings in the zone, literally walks around by himself for, like, a good, you know, 10 seconds all the way around, and then snipes it. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, and it was beautifully. And we were texting in our one fantasy group, and our buddy Paulie has to stream the game because he lives in Virginia. And it was just Sanheim scored, and we're all just like, wait for Paulie! Wait! And then he celebrates. We're like, there it is.
Yeah, it was like a good 45-second delay.
Yeah, it was great. That was a funny moment to add to that awesomeness of a game. Then the Flyers come home against Edmonton. I think it's the start of, what, a 5-game homestand, right? Capping off tonight against Pittsburgh. Two, today is the 11th.
Two, yep.
Yeah. So against Edmonton, we won 5-4 in overtime, another overtime winner. Edmonton goal scorers Ratty, Connor McDavid, Larson, and Zach Cashin. Philadelphia goal scorers Sean Couturier, Claude Giroux, Travis Konecny, Wayne Simmons, Nolan Patrick with the OT winner. Carter Hart, 40 saves on 44 shots. 44 shots.
Shards. Oh, man. Shards. Yes.
Man.
Woo.
Yeah. That was
what a stinky performance he had.
Damn, man.
44.
He played like crap.
Shots. Shots. Okay.
All I want to say is that Connor McDavid kid, if he keeps his head down and works hard, he might be something one day.
He might be.
Maybe
he's got
someday.
A good chance. It was a good way to fight back, because the Flyers were down 3-1 midway through the second.
if I had any thoughts on this game, it would be that the Flyers are finally winning games that maybe they, you know, they went down, what, you said it was like 4-1 at one point?
3-1.
3-1, yeah.
3-1.
And they really, you really think that, like, they would be able to beat the Oilers because they're just a garbage fire. And early in the year, that wasn't the case. They were proactively finding way to lose games. And yes, while Edmonton's a tire fire, the fact that the Flyers were still able to come back and still win, I don't know. I don't know if that's because Carter Hart's in that or
yes,
in the coaching. But I feel, well, yeah, Carter Hart is helping the most. But in that game, I mean, still, he let up 4 goals, but the Flyers still.
Well, the difference being is that the team believes that Carter Hart can make a stop when they need him to. So when they're down 3-1, they don't think the game's over. They keep playing.
Yeah,
yeah, I think
if that game happens in November, December, we don't come back and win that game.
They give up. They're just waiting for the game to end.
I think that's a good point because, you know, if somebody like Michael Neuvirth in that, you As someone sitting there on the bench, you probably don't get the feeling that that's a winnable game, and then you just stop trying. Whereas with Carter Hart, you feel like as long as he can keep you in it every game, he makes the saves that he needs to make, keeps you in the game, and then you can come back. And essentially, I mean, they've won 9 out of the last 10 games, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Right. Gosh. They did a really good job of not giving up, and it's something that, like, until Carter Hart came and, like, eased himself into the NHL that, you know, we didn't really see. So
you mean took it by storm?
No, it took him a little bit.
Yes.
Now, he did come out play really well when he started, but then it was
the
like,
fact that
awkward because the team in front of him didn't adapt yet. I think that was the thing.
The fact that he's in Calder talks when, I mean, it was pretty obvious that Pettersson was just going to run away with it. The fact that he's putting, I don't know if he wins it. I think Pettersson still wins it. But the fact that he's now inserted himself into it, like, just like that, like, it's now a race between Pettersson and Hart.
Yeah, I think
that's impressive.
Like, Carter Hart would have to basically continue what he's doing for the rest of the season. The Flyers have to make the playoffs. And if he does that, he might.
Yeah, for
he
him
could
to,
win. Yeah.
To have it. But the thing about, like, those talks is it didn't really happen until the next game, which happened to be against Vancouver in a 2-1 victory, where he would make 41 saves on 42 shots. Goal score. God damn it.
Yeah.
He's sharded again.
Oh, man. I know what our episode title is going to be.
man, 41 saves on 42 shots.
He's got some gassy problems.
Yeah. Philadelphia goal scorers were Couturier and Voracek. Vancouver goal scorer was Brock Boeser. And Carter Hart stood on his head, and he stole that game.
There really was a bit of a controversy because he made that one save with that pile of poop that was behind him.
Well, that's what happens when you have 42 shards.
Yeah, it piles up. 42 consecutive shards leaves a little bit of residue on the crease.
I got to start writing Carter
slows the puck down
instead of Hart. for me on these things because I'm just saying shots but reading Hart, and it's just Shart. Yeah. Oh,
man, I love Carter Hart even more now.
Carter sharting around.
Carter, what is your secret? Oh, I would say it's all the sharts.
All the sharts. Could you elaborate on that? No, I shart everywhere.
Yeah, shart my pants and then...
My psychologist said if I'm feeling stressed, I should shart.
The other players smell it on the other team, and they're just like, "Damn, I gotta get out of the zone."
So after that Vancouver game, the Flyers had been winners of 8 consecutive, going into the next game against the Kings again home. But it was a 3-2 shootout loss this time. Goal scores for Philadelphia: Couturier and Voracek. Kings were Wagner and Kempe. Kempe would get the eventual. No, Toffoli would get the eventual winner in the shootout. The Stars had 37 saves on 39 shots. And, yeah, I mean, couldn't win forever, right? But, hey, we got a point.
What I love about this is
we scored
it's the
late
most,
in the third. To
get it's out. The most Flyers thing in the world to end your winning streak by winning a shootout.
Yeah,
but then
that was...
losing the shootout.
Oh, yeah. So Kempe's goal in the shootout didn't look like a goal, but it actually was. It just happened so fast.
It hit the camera, too, so it didn't, like... Even though it went in the net, it was only in the net for like half a second.
Yeah, so it looked like it hit the post and came right at and didn't go in, but it actually snuck in under there and, you know, did its business to tie the shootout and keep it going. And then a couple saves, a couple misses, and Toffoli finally gets it done in the, what, sixth round of the shootout.
Well, once they called that back, which obviously it was going to get called back, I'm like, yep, the Flyers are losing this. There is no way they win this. It's still a game where, I mean, it was Stolarz was in net for that game, but it's still a game where, I mean, even, I think it was either Voracek or Couturier, pretty sure it was Voracek, that said they probably had no business even getting a point. But
no, they were pretty bad. Stolarz,
yeah, their goaltending,
fantastic.
Oh, I know, their goaltending kept them in the game, and, I mean, maybe this, it's tough, because if you're coming into the offseason, and you're going into next season with your goaltending or your two goaltenders is Hart and Stolarz. Do you really want two young netminders? And I mean, if Stolarz can keep it up, why not? But like, it's still kind of a risk.
Stolarz isn't really that young so much as inexperienced.
Right. Yeah.
But he should have more experience with just terrible injuries, you know.
That five hole though, oh my God, on that shootout goal. I think Kopitar's first shot.
Kopitar?
Stolarz always
had five hole issues. That's
he's so tall.
Yeah, he has the biggest five hole in the history of five holes. But he didn't even move. It was really kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, he's a tall boy though. He's a tall boy.
I mean, I like him. I want him to succeed in this league. I just don't know if that's.
I don't see him doing it in Philadelphia, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean,
I could see him being the backup.
Well, that's what I mean. If he ever succeeds as a starter, it's definitely not going to be in Philly. But
no.
Yeah,
no.
But I mean,
Carter Hart is the goalie.
Yeah, but I mean, if his career is, but I think he ends up being like one of those like Talbot like players Cam Talbot, where he was the backup behind Henrik Lundqvist and he earned himself a starter job elsewhere because another team wanted him.
That's what Flyers are going to have to do forever until Carter Hart retires. Yeah, they're going to have to develop, just like the LA Kings did, you know, like, the Rangers. You know, you develop your backup and then they leave and be a starter somewhere else and they're not as good. And then...
Well, that's why it's always important to, even after, like, I mean, Carter Hart's established as the Flyers goaltender for the future, but it's always important in the draft to still target goaltenders. Like, if you get a good goalie, that's such a bargaining chip for, like, a trade. If you have a legitimate starting goaltender as your backup, you could trade that for, a huge
picks.
Return.
Look at the Kings. Bernier, Martin Jones. That's what they did.
Stolarz, by the way, is in his last year of the contract. He's an RFA at the end of the season. He's 25 years of age. So we'll see what happens with him.
He will be super cheap if they decide to go that route. Yep.
I think so too, because of his injury history. And I think that if they do, I think they do re-sign him on a cheap deal. I don't know if he's like going into next season as the definite backup, but I think he will have a chance to earn that role in camp.
You know, we still have Felix Sandstrom.
I mean, there's another one. I do always forget about Sandstrom. I don't know if Line and becomes anything more than an AHL goalie, but I mean, goalies are weird. He might bloom late. You really don't know with goaltenders.
But you also have that other guy.
That other guy that I don't even can't remember who it is.
With a U, his name starts with a U.
Yeah.
But he's supposedly and he's supposedly killing it. The Flyers have a lot of goalies that are doing
that are doing extremely well.
I mean, that's not a problem. I just think it's I think that's a.
It's just now it happens when we have Carter Hart, you know.
Well, that's formula though. You have a great franchise goalie, and then you develop backups that are their starters, but you develop them so they're your backup. And then when it's time to resign them, you can't, so you trade them, and then you get the next young guy in there to be your backup.
So in January. The Flyers have, what was this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 goalies who just played phenomenal in their respective league. Ustamenko, Sandstrom, Stolarz, Fedotov, Hart, Ersson, and Lyon all averaged over a .930 save percentage.
Good Lord.
The worst goals against was Stolarz, who had a 2.6 goals against between the NHL and the AHL in 3 games played.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Ustamenko, in that time, he played 9 games, had a .960 save percentage, and a .95 goals against average.
I guess that's
in
one
the
of the
MHL.
Things
What's
that...
the MHL?
I think it's the Russian Junior League.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that.
Fedotov, Ivan Fedotov, plays in the KHL, and he had a .933 and a .208, which is just fantastic, because he's a kid, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's one of the things that Hextall, I guess, I mean, he, for being recently fired, I think Hextall did a lot of things right, and I think essentially building a goalie, not just building the prospect pipeline, but specifically a goalie pipeline, I think that, I mean, that sets the Flyers up.
It's that goalie pipeline
real nicely
that Dev was talking about trading. Like, it's what happens. It's good.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, it gives us, you know, an opportunity to trade for core players or, you know, major key rental players when we're ready to start competing down the road. And it, you know, just as long as we continue to draft goalies, you know, target goalies like that, you can always use goalies as chips in trades.
Yep.
They're always, you know. They're very valuable in this league, obviously.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Chuck continues that philosophy of drafting a goalie every.
Yeah, because I mean, you
yeah,
never
I think,
know.
Why not?
Goalies. That's the nice thing is even hey, if
fourth
you draft
round
guy,
pick, pick a goalie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what Lundqvist was a fifth round pick, seventh round pick rather. So.
And if
yeah,
you think about it, like at, in the later rounds, the skaters are pretty much lottery picks. So, but like all goalies are lottery picks. So
right.
You might as well
take
use your fifth round pick on a goalie. It's probably
if he
more valuable.
Nothing, he amounts to nothing. What are you gonna do? Yeah, I mean the skater's most likely gonna amount to
plus
nothing.
Plus, you trade or you create like a kind of like a mini goalie tournament in the Flyers organization. They all try to outdo each other.
Exactly. Competition is good.
Yeah. Speaking of goalies, real quick before we move on to the last game, we got to talk about. They're saying that Brian Elliott could be coming back soon, and I'm upset.
I'm kind of sad too.
I don't want him to.
Not come that. Back. Not that he was bad, but I'm kind of done with Elliott at this point because, I mean, he's had a tough year with injuries.
Boy,
and...
if he comes back and plays good in, like, a game, do you think we could trade him before the deadline?
No.
I don't know. Probably not.
Deadline's
I mean,
in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but who's going to – who needs
that.
A goalie?
I don't know. Somebody.
And who wants an injured old guy who sucks?
Who'd we just
I would honestly argue that –
the Ducks need a goalie.
I would honestly argue the chances of – Elliott coming back and then the Flyers trading Stolarz are higher than Elliott coming back and the Flyers trading Elliott.
Yeah.
Not saying that they're going to trade Stolarz, but I would just say that's a higher
of the two. Yeah.
Probability.
So yeah, we'll go over that in a little bit later too. But last game to talk about, we're home against Anaheim, 6-2 win. With that, Anaheim goal scorers were Adam Henrik and Nick Ritchie. Philadelphia goal scorers were Veroni, Couturier, Raffle, Lindblom, Patrick, and Konechny. Hart had 30 saves on 32 shots. Got it.
Good job.
I did it. So proud of myself. Interesting about this game is Drew, Simmons, and Vorobyev were the only forwards without a point. Provorov, Gostisbehere, and Gudas were the only defensemen without a point.
Interesting.
I mean, Ducks are a garbage fire.
Well,
like they,
now that Gibson's hurt, they're having some issues.
Well, they were already a garbage fire. Yeah. Gibson was just the only thing that was keeping them afloat.
Yeah.
And now that Gibson is hurt, well,
yeah,
it's really bad.
Really, it's so Flyers improved to 9-0-1 in their past 10. Ducks had their seventh straight loss. After that. So Carter Hart, after that win, became the second goalie to win 8 straight before turning 21. The first was, or the only other one, was Jocelyn Thibault in 1995. And as we record right now, the Flyers stand 6 points out of the playoffs with a big game tonight, Monday the 11th, against Pittsburgh. So we'll see. By the time this goes live, the Flyers...
They will be 4 points back by the time this goes live.
They will be 4 points or 8 points.
Dalt
or,
is freaking out right now.
Or
this is
7 points.
This is literally a huge game. Like
this is the biggest game
is,
of the season so far.
Well, yeah,
this is the
this
biggest
is,
game in the last couple of years, honestly.
This is the
this
game
is bigger
that,
than the playoffs than last year.
This is the game that really like it kind of puts the fans at where they're going to be the rest of the season. If they lose this game, then the fans are checked out because now we're 8 points out of a playoff race as. You know, we're nearing the as we're closing the end.
With the Rangers 1 point behind us and Buffalo and Carolina in between us and a playoff spot as well. So
And if we win this game, that take we take that, you know, now we're even closer.
Then
now you're
in
the bubble. You're in the bubble if you win tonight.
Yeah.
Whether it's in regulation or overtime.
The next 3 games after this one are against very beatable teams too. So if you beat the Penguins, you should be you could easily shoot. Should be able to roll over the Wild
tomorrow?
And Red Wings. Yeah, Minnesota. And then we play the Red Wings Saturday and Sunday at
home.
It's crazy. It's funny. I was talking to a coworker back when they were, like, winning 3 in a row. And he's like, oh, they're winning 3 in a row, like, joking around. I was like, they're not going to be able to get back into the, like, race unless they go, like, 15-1. And basically what we're saying is if they win tonight and then they beat the beatable teams they're playing in the next couple games, that's exactly what they would have done.
After the Red Wings home and home, they do have games against Tampa, and then I forget the middle one, and then they have it's right in front of me, Montreal, in Montreal, and then they have the Stadium Series game against Pittsburgh. So it's a lot of games coming up that are winnable, and then there's a lot of games that they have to win that they're going to have to fight for.
Right, but if they do what we want them to do this week, if they win out the week, like win all the games, and Saturday they could very well be in a playoff spot, and then from that point on, it's just do better than everyone else because now you're in it.
So that's 7 games.
You don't have to go
about.
On and win
if they
30
win,
all your games.
If they win 5 of those games and only lose 1 in regulation, as long as they beat Pittsburgh both times. And Montreal, they have to beat Montreal too, because they're another.
They
one
have
of those
to beat
teams.
The bad. They have to. Well, Montreal isn't bad, but they have to beat the teams that are beatable. They cannot lose to the Kings again. You know,
right.
Like you gotta win.
I think they can afford the loss against Tampa. If they're gonna give up one, that's the only one they can afford.
Well, they do have all of March
and Minnesota,
too. Like they
though,
can right? lose a couple games here and there.
They can
like,
lose to Minnesota because it's Western Conference, but they have to win. All the other games, they just have to.
Yeah. They from here on out, they just gotta keep winning. They don't have to win at a 9-0-1 pace to get in, but they pretty much will have to.
They
really don't.
There's not a lot of
room this,
though because they have to jump teams to get there.
I don't care about jumping
it.
Teams though.
It's not just Flyers, Penguins. It's you know, there's 2 other teams in the mix.
Right.
But if
right.
They can
right.
Just
but
win
it doesn't
too,
matter if you win your games. They're not going to win out.
Basically,
like, nobody does. Yeah. So everyone always is like, oh, there's 3 teams in between you and the playoff spot. The only team that matters is the team that's holding the playoff spot. That's the only team that matters.
Yeah.
And right now, that's the Penguins.
Yes. But in 3 games, it could be Columbus again.
And I mean, even if, let's say, the Flyers go out and lose tonight, even if that happens, they're not I don't think that the team themselves will think they're out of it. And they mathematically, I mean, they could still, you know, win out the games the rest of the week and still be in a decent spot come the end of the week, even if they lose tonight. But I think with the fan base, it'll be very different if they lose tonight, because I think at least the diehard fans understand what this game, where this game could put us at the end of tonight. Yeah.
It's funny. Mathematically, the game isn't that important because there's still a lot of track left, and it's the equation remains the same. You got to win a lot of your games to get in. But it's just emotionally, if you win tonight, February 11th, 2019, if you win tonight, then you're right there. You're only 4 points back, right?
Then you kind of convince the fan base that you're for real at this point.
But if you lose, you're back to being eight.
There's 27 games left in the season for the Flyers, if you include tonight against Pittsburgh. So that's a lot of hockey. A lot of things can go right, and a lot of things can go wrong. You just got to focus on your games and move forward. So right now the Flyers are 25-23-7. So they're above hockey 500, which I know Devin hates that. We've talked about this before. But right now, those 7 points are big. Those 7 points are big. So hockey 500, Dev, we need to keep ahead of that. We got to keep.
Yeah, no, you got to be above real 500.
Yeah, but as we stand right now,
they have 27 games.
We have 27 left. Games left. Yeah,
they probably got to win at least like 18 or 19 of those.
I would say around 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you can lose seven more times. So
as long as you get like 4 points out of those seven.
Yeah. and that's the other thing. Like, the teams they have to jump aren't very good either.
Carolina and Buffalo.
Yeah, so, like, it's not like they're going to go on a run.
But to give you an idea, Buffalo's 4 points ahead of us. Carolina's 5 points ahead of us. So it's all right around each other. Like, we could be – if we win tonight and Carolina wins, then we're chasing Carolina. So it's a whole –
I mean, things could change, too, over the course of the next couple weeks. I mean, especially near the trade deadline, because I mean, look, if I'm Columbus, you kind of have to trade Panarin and Bobrovsky at this point.
Not necessarily. You could use them as your own rental.
You could, but I don't think they're good enough to go on a run, and I don't think that they should be good, like, they should view themselves as good enough to go on a run.
They're more than a rental, though. It's not, like, it's not a Wayne Simmons situation where it's, you know, it's a guy who's really good, but he's like, these are franchise players. So if they lose them for nothing, their team is essentially bad next year, and they're kind of starting from square one.
Yeah. Whereas if they trade them now, I mean, I think the team they have now, even with those franchise players, isn't good enough to win a cup. And if that's not, if you're the general manager, and if you're looking at this team and you think what probably mostly everybody around the league thinks is that they're not good enough to win a cup, then you're doing your team a disservice not trading them before the deadline. Even if
they're in a tough spot, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy spot, but I still think that they should and will trade Panarin and Bobrovsky.
Yeah, and it's not like they're going to be like, oh, we have all this cap space now, we'll just get Carlson, because like, there's no way he's going there.
They should at least trade Bobrovsky.
Yeah, well, the problem with Bobrovsky is he's kind of playing terrible. So it's hard. What are you going to trade him for?
Coming back. You know he's not.
Nah. And didn't one of them, I think Panarin just fired his agent and hired Bob's agent too.
Yeah.
So like, that's not a good sign.
They're looking at like package deals. Things aren't looking good.
And I honestly think going into the playoffs that maybe is kind of a distraction. I mean, maybe it isn't, but I don't know. If I'm the GM, I take a look at all that thing, like take a look at the big picture and think, if you lose these guys for nothing, your team is now terrible, and that'll be a pivoting point for the franchise.
Another thing to consider is the current division leader is the New York Islanders, and while I don't think it'll happen because they've proved that this is just who they are, it wouldn't be surprising if they suddenly collapsed. You know? Like, it's
That'd
just...
great.
Yeah, they're just... No one expects
them. They're not supposed to be good.
They're not supposed to be there.
Like second line center.
And remember last year, at this time of the year, the Flyers, I think it was a little later, though. I think it was like towards the end of February. The Flyers were in first place in the Metro. We were like, whoa, what's going on here? And then what happened? They fell apart and almost missed the playoffs. So it could happen.
Who'd have thought that John Tavares would have been a bad influence in New York?
Yeah, it's they had no coach. Yeah, and they're getting good. You know what? They're getting good goaltending, and now they have a coach. That's
real quick.
Similar story to the Flyers.
That's going to go over Flyers stats as well. Flyers points leaders to the point right now. Drew with 58, Couturier 48, Voracek 47. Goal leaders, Couturier 23, Drew 16, Simmons 16. Assists, Drew with 42, Voracek with 34, Couturier with 25. And Carter Hart has a 245 goals against average and a 926 save percentage. And he's got an 11-5-1 record so far in the NHL.
Wow. Yeah. Quick question. Can you calculate what point total Drew is on pace for?
I can. I want to talk about, while I'm doing that, I want to talk about how Couturier is just on a tear in this past 45 games.
Oh, yeah.
He did not start that way. He's had like 3 points in 11 games, and then he's just gone off.
He was coming off of like an injury. I forget what exactly. Yeah, but he was coming off all that. And I mean, I know it was just one season, but I think last year proved he is a much more developed player. And granted, he's playing with better players now too. I mean, right now he's actually, you know, he's got his own line on the second line and he's in charge of that line. He's not attached to Drew anymore. But, yeah, I honestly, even at the beginning of the season, I wasn't really too worried about Couturier. I mean, maybe that was because there was just so much else that was wrong with this. There was just so much else that was wrong with this team. So I didn't really have room in my brain to be worried about Couturier.
He's just
on
a ridiculous over a point per game.
Yeah, no.
The thing about Couturier.
By the way, I'll let you finish up. Drew is on pace for 86 points.
Okay, hopefully Drew can get up into the 90s. I have this little pet project in my head where I'm hoping Drew can finish his career at a point per game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I just like to know where he's at. Anyway, so Couturier, the thing about Couturier, which is always good, is that his entire career, everything about his game has been good. And, like, all the, like, underlining stuff, the eye test, like, everything about him just looks like he's playing great. It's just, you know, the offensive stats just were never there until last year. But actually, they were there. They were just always hampered by either injury or lockout.
Right.
So I was never really worried for him. He's the kind of player that, like, when he's not putting up totals, like, you know that it will turn around. It's not, you know, it's not just luck. Like, he's a good player. He's just all around good player. And you know what? He might, if he keeps it up for the rest of the year, he might actually win the Selke this year. Because I think one of the biggest problems he had last year was that he was playing with Drew. And it was like, oh, is it Drew or is it Couturier? And I think it hurt both of them in their respective awards they were up for. Because
I still think Bergeron probably wins it just because I've been following him closely because he's on my fantasy team. And he's playing at like in a ridiculous pace. But I think Couturier is, like, he's going to be a mainstay in the Selke trophy every year.
But you also got to remember with there is fatigue. Like, even though a player deserves it, like, the writers will go out of their way to give it to a guy they think deserves it, even if, like, his stats. I mean, just think Drew Doughty Norris. Like, the year that Drew Doughty won the Norris was not the year he should have won the Norris. We're sorry, you know, you couldn't win all those other years because of guys that would just happen to be playing that were better.
Yeah. True. I don't disagree with that, but I also believe that Boston gets handed everything, so.
Yeah. I mean, no, I wouldn't be surprised. He should definitely be a finalist again, and he will get it eventually.
It's because Robert Kraft pays every ref. And every.
Does he own the Bruins, too?
No. He owns the Sixers. Okay. Part owner of the Sixers.
Hmm? Is he?
Yeah.
I thought it was that other guy.
No, Robert Kraft. Anyways.
Did not know that.
Anywho, we got a DM, boys.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Dalt was sliding into our DMs. He says, who do you see the Flyers making a blockbuster trade for, if anyone, or a big signing this offseason? We'll get to that in a second. But there's more to this. He says, what do you guys think of the Austin Matthews extension, and what do you think Mitch Marner is worth/will want? Also, how do you look yourself in the mirror and call yourself a real fan if you don't throw your hat on the ice for a hat trick? Cough, cough, hint, hint, kush. Thanks, Bods. Let's get together real soon and play some shinny, eh? And legitimately, nobody likes Ohio. Well, thanks, Dan.
All right. So I'm going to jump in here so we can get this out of the way because I am so sick and tired of this hat thing. Like, I don't know what to say at this point. Like, what would people like me to say? That I'm not a real fan? I mean, that's fine, I guess, but I guess if I'm not a real fan, I think they want you to say
that you're a coward.
I guess if I'm not a real fan, I'll just continue to watch games and do a podcast on this team in all my free time. I don't know. I don't understand why there has to be, like, this fan police in hockey, and everyone apparently has, like, a badge and handcuffs, and they're ready to arrest you whenever they're like, ooh, you don't do the same thing I did.
Just saying, I threw my favorite.
That's how I feel when people tell me I shouldn't boo things.
Yeah.
I boo things. You're allowed to boo.
No, but I always love that you'll see, like, another, like, it doesn't happen in Philly. We don't care about, like, we love booing, but, like, you'll see, like, it happened this year, Toronto booed Gardner. And there's, like, all these articles by Toronto beat writers, like, that's a disgrace. You should never boo your own player. And I was like, what? Like, fans can boo whoever the hell they want. Don't yell at the fans.
I don't know. I don't know. I just don't see why I should be put under fire because I don't want to throw my $35 comfortable, stylish, can't find it anywhere else hat.
I literally threw my favorite hat on the ice, and I can't.
Well, that's you. That's great. That's awesome. Guess who didn't?
Threw his brand new Canada hat that he literally wore for the first time.
That's awesome.
You're a disgrace.
You guys are all three of you are rookies. You're supposed to bring a bad hat with you.
Okay, I have never seen a hat trick live. I'm like, what are the odds?
You're just supposed to bring a bad hat with you, so this
also,
doesn't
what are the
become
odds
a problem.
That Tal would go to two games in a row. That was,
that was actually my thing too. Like I always wear like crap hats to Flyers games because I'm like, yeah, you know, if they score a hat trick, whatever. And they just hadn't. And then that day, walking out the door, I'm like, I really can't find another hat, so I'm just gonna use my favorite hat ever. And then of course they score a hat trick that day. But yeah.
Well,
I mean, I understand Dalt threw his new Canada hat. I understand that, but he also could find that hat again. I couldn't find the hat that, like, I know for a fact I can't find that.
I know if I was at that game and I was wearing my Eagles Super Bowl hat, which I often wear, I would have pretended to throw it but hid it under my shirt.
All right, let's move to the actual important things. So I wanna break his DM up into not chronological order because the first part of it falls into something else we want to talk about. So what do you guys think of the Auston Matthews extension? It was for 5 years, $58 million, so an AAV of 11.6 mil per year.
I love it.
I think this is great because the new age of player being ahead, they're signing shorter-term deals, which means in about 5 and 6 years, free agency might be pretty awesome again because these guys are going to – they're not signing their UFA years away to their team. So they're like, he's going to be 27 when it's going to be John Tavares again.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that actually, like, that's a thing now too. Like we've seen John Tavares leave his, you know, the Islanders. And I'm really hoping that as we go forward, the NHL slowly becomes more and more like the NBA and where like star players will leave the team that drafted them to get paid and to go to a team that can win championships.
And before the people groan about becoming like the NBA, it's good because for a team like the Flyers, which is a cap team and they're rich, it means when we're bad we can quickly become good again by buying players.
Yeah, exactly.
Which we could never do because there was one never any good players to buy, and then you would overpay for, you know, mediocre players.
If the NHL implemented like a luxury tax for their cap space, the Flyers would win the cup every year.
Well, that's not true because before the salary cap, they never won the cup, and that's basically what they were trying to do.
Yeah,
but yeah.
But it would be more fun.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but I don't know. It would be more fun. But back to the Matthews contract. I mean, I like it because he got paid. He didn't skimp out on selling himself short for the good of the team, and yeah, and it only makes it harder for Toronto to sign Marner now, which I'm happy about.
Which brings us to the second part, because I'm fine with the awesome. I agree with you guys on everything you said about the Auston Matthews stuff. That's why I didn't pitch in, because I didn't have anything to argue about. So what is Mitch Marner worth? Because I believe what did they lowballed him, didn't he? Like 3.5, 4 mil, something like that a year.
I think it was like $5 million, which
is still a low ball.
They gave Nylander 6.9.
Yeah, they just gave him just under 7.
A nice number.
Marner's agent's like, what the hell?
Myers agent says he wants a nice number plus some.
Right.
As he deserves. The dude puts up points. He's a producer.
Yeah, so I don't know what he's doing. Do you have his point total now?
I can in like 2 seconds.
Yes, yeah, so, the highest on the Leafs.
Because him and Nylander basically had the same amount of points up until this year.
66 points in 55 games, 20 goals, 40.
Has he? I thought he had more points than Nylander last year.
He did. But I'm just saying they were basically very similar in point totals, and Nylander got 6.9. So like that's a starting point.
Last year.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Last year, Marner had 69 points. Nice. In 82 games. So he's already 3 points off his last year's total. So.
Jesus. Yeah, now he's... And this is only his third year. I mean, he's turning into a legitimate stud. Like, I said this before. Like, if you got Marner on the Flyers, it'd basically almost be like having two Drews.
Mm-hmm. Kevin's
yes.
walking into his apartment. That's all
yes, I am.
That is all the noise you hear.
I'm sure there might be a quick disconnect while I connect to Wi-Fi.
If you do, just sit back in. Everything will be good.
But yes, like as far as like a actual, what did Matthews get again?
Matthews got 11.6 per year.
See, like Marner, you gotta probably start at like 9.
Yeah, no, you have to. I think that's, and especially, it sounds like his agent's gonna be picky too, and that's good because I think Marner needs to get paid, and he definitely, it's definitely more than 6.9. I don't know, like, he said his agent said he's worth as much as Matthews, which, again, I love, because that just puts Toronto in a tougher corner, but...
Well, he is an RFA.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But I think your starting point has to be 9, at the least, and if honestly, like, if Mitch
nine
Marner gets... Yeah, if Mitch Marner gets to restricted free agency, and but if no team puts in a what's it called, the
offer sheet?
Yeah, if no team puts in an offer sheet, I'm gonna be pissed because
an offer sheet where you either get them or you put the team in financial hell.
Yeah, and I think the Flyers need to be one of those teams. They have the cap space, and I know you have to worry about signing a couple guys in a couple years, but Mitch Marner's a player that you can – that's a player that you can be like a complimentary piece, a team that – a guy that you build a team around. Not like the sole piece, but that's one of the big pieces. You know, another player to your core, essentially.
Yeah, no, I think he's – he's probably the second, but he is the second best player on that team. I think he's probably
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So if the Flyers have a chance, even if it's a small chance, to sign a guy like that
just
in
put
restricted
the offer out there,
you just have to. And I know there's like the stigma that like if you put in an offer sheet, teams generally don't want to do like or like trade with you or do any more deals. But if you were to put an offer sheet on Marner and then get him, I wouldn't even care if Toronto never worked with us for the next 5-10 years.
That stigma is not true because the Predators worked with us after we offer sheeted.
Yeah, so like that's
a little true. Kind of Paul Holmgren talked about it. He had a really hard time.
I think there were other reasons people didn't want to work with Paul Holmgren.
Yeah, I'll just say, but yeah, I'm loving it because. I don't know if you guys know, but I got in a little bit of a Twitter beef with a certain Toronto writer who laughed at me when I said that Toronto might have some cap issues going forward, and they might. And he said basically that an offer sheet wouldn't be a threat because they had $12 million in cap space or something
that. Yeah, I always think about that.
But that's right now with where's Austin Matthews? He's just under $1 million in cap hit. Yeah, you're adding $11 million to that cap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
no, they're
going
to – granted, I think teams like that, like top-heavy teams –
Although, to be fair, real quick while I'm talking about their cap hits, Nylander's making 10.2 this year. Next year he makes 6.9, so.
Yeah, but whatever. I'm just waiting for the offer sheet to come around. I have the tweet bookmarked. I can't wait to let old cold takes exposed. No. I am excited. It's going to be great.
This is awesome.
They also have Jake Gardner. If they don't re-sign him, coming off their books, which is...
He's gone.
I think teams like Toronto, though, and especially if they can get Marner re-signed, which, again, I don't know. I personally don't see how that's possible. But if they do and they become this, like, top-heavy team, teams like that can work. I mean, that's basically been Pittsburgh's formula for, like, forever.
The only thing I will say to that, and that's what they said. They're like, they're following Pittsburgh and Chicago's model.
So?
It didn't really work for them that way. Because, I mean, Chicago, after they went with Taves and Kane for $10 million, I don't think they – how many cups did they win once they were making $10
million? Maybe
one. No.
I don't think they won any. I think they did that after the three cups.
I don't remember.
And then, they were still making a decent amount before this contract.
Right, yeah. And then Crosby and Malkin, they went a long time with Crosby and Malkin as these big top guns, and they didn't even get close. Like, they won the cup when Crosby was on, like, his rookie deal. And then in 2009, and then from 2009 to 2016, they didn't even make it past the second round, I think, or they kept losing.
Yeah, but they're always in the fold, and then when you start winning cups, that's because they have success with that strategy.
It wasn't until they basically stole Phil Kessel and...
They top-heavy. They made their team more top-heavy. Right. And they have to get lucky. I mean, this was Chicago's formula, too, and the same thing with Pittsburgh. They had to kind of get lucky with their draft picks. Like, they would get, like, a second round or a late first-round pick or a second-round pick that was good enough to play with those, you know, like that top-heavy core. Like, they had Sherry with Crosby, and even though he wasn't that good when he left Pittsburgh, he was good when they were on their cup runs. And I think the same thing is true about Jake Guentzel. I think he's a talented player, but I think he's less without those core. But without, you know, playing with Crosby and Malkin. But
yeah, they need, in addition to the top-heavy two guys, they just need to have a good goalie, really.
I mean, that helps, too.
A good goalie makes up for not having a defense. And that's basically what Pittsburgh did, too, because they had Letang. And then they had Fleury in his prime, and then they had Matt Murray going on a good run. So that's that's the formula.
So quickly before we get to the second part of Dalt's DM, I did forget something about the Flyers that I just forgot to write it down. Flyers made a trade.
Oh yeah,
they made a trade. They traded
Dale Weiss
left, and who and Christian Folan for David Schlemko. And Byron Fraze, apparently it's the proper way to pronounce his last name, even though it looks like Fries, from Montreal.
It was the anti Ron Hextall trade.
Yep.
Yeah, I loved it because it opened up. I guess it opened up a spot for Phil Myers because they immediately brought him up.
I think
up,
he's
like,
playing tonight, isn't he?
Oh god, that'd be perfect.
He might not be.
I hope he plays tonight. I don't know if he does, but if he does, I think this is the start of proving Drew wrong.
Honestly, I like the trade.
Well, no, the trade was
is only $650,000, and he's a UFA after this year. And then Schlemko, he's making $2.1 million in the minors for 2 years.
I love the trade, not just because we got rid of Weiss, because honestly, you know, after we sent him down, he was kind of an afterthought to me. It was like, you know, whatever. Christian Folan, you know, another afterthought. He barely played. But it kind of, like I said, it opened up that spot for Phil Myers, and I think he's here. He has to prove himself in the NHL, but this is his chance right here, and I think he can run with it. There are so many people saying that he should have already had been given an opportunity.
Yeah.
So
so quickly, Ryan, we got to move on.
Mm-hmm.
We got to move on to the other part of Dalt's DM, and it's going to lead us to Armchair GM, which we're going to start doing more frequently, but not just Drew makes an idiot trade. We're going to do it as...
But I love your idiot trades.
Hey, wait, can we use that? Can we have that be a segment?
No. That'll happen still, just not just.
Not all the time. Got it. Got to make it. Can't overuse it.
Right. So, Dalt wants to know, who do we see the Flyers making blockbuster trade for, if anyone, or a big signing this offseason? Dev, you have to go soon, so I want you to get your thoughts in there.
I don't really know what they will do, but what I hope to do is go after Stone from Ottawa.
Okay.
I think he'd be a good fit. I don't really Duchesne would be cool too, but I think they're kind of good in center. So,
so
it'd be great.
Forward.
Yeah, forward. I don't really know what defensemen are really attainable in the free agent market next year.
I actually have that list up. The UFAs specifically, the top 10 we'll go with is Carlson, Tyler Myers, Jay Bomeister, Alexander Edler, Zdeno Chara, Mark Metho, Nick Cronwall, Anton Strahlman, Jake Gardner, and Braden Coburn.
Isn't Carlson going to be UFA?
Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that. He was the first guy I said.
Did you just? Oh, I missed it. Okay, yeah. So I don't think they'll be able to get Carlson. So yeah. And then the rest of those guys don't really excite me. So yeah, I would go with the forward. And as you can't get Panarin, I think Stone is a really good backup.
Well, I like that. I like going
after. So you lose Wayne Simmons and you add Stone, and I think that's great.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing. Quick, Dev, before you have to go, me and Coach are going to stick around, finish our thoughts on everything. Anything else you want to add today?
The Penguins suck, and let's go Flyers.
Hell yeah, brother. We'll get you. We'll talk. We'll get this out. We'll get another one next week. See how we stand. We'll try to get this back weekly. But Dev, thank you for showing up and having us with you on your drive. I'm sure you're about to cook dinner, so cook something.
Yes, that's true. Thank you. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye, Dev. All right, so Rye.
Well, I mean, Dev made a good point about Stone. I like him, and I think he could add a lot to the team. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows I'm on the Mitch Marner train at this point, but Toronto's not going to trade him.
All right,
there's
forget Mitch Marner, right? We talked about Mitch Marner. Everybody, mm-hmm. All three of us would want Mitch Marner. Forget about him. He's off the table. He signed a contract with Toronto. Let's take him off the table. What would you do?
I mean, I want to go after Panarin. I think that's kind of a realistic one. I don't know how Columbus would feel about trading to the team in the same division.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if we're going after people from, because I think that LeBron was putting out that Simmons could go to Toronto, or not Toronto.
That won't happen.
Tampa Bay. Because he thinks that team needs a big body forward like that. And I don't know. I feel like if we're trading Simmons there,
well,
Tyler Johnson maybe?
I love Tyler Johnson.
I think he's a great utility player. Johnson. I don't know how well he'd
fit with us, though.
Yeah. I mean, he can play pretty much. I mean, they have him listed as a center, but he plays all over the...
He's listed as left, center, and right. So
yeah, I mean, he literally plays all over the lineup.
Yeah.
So I think if Tampa's willing to, and there's been a lot of talk about.
You know who we should get from Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
Nick Martel.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. There we go.
Yeah, that's it. There we go. Figured it out. If we were to trade Simmons to Tampa Bay. Ideally, who would you get in return?
I mean, ideally, Tyler Johnson.
Who makes the most sense for Tampa Bay to trade?
That I don't know. I don't know much about
that. Tyler Johnson, 28, $5 million until 2024. But he's got
a
no trade clause. But he's got a new trade clause. He's got a full no trade clause.
Are we actually going
with
that?
From July to June 15th. Yeah, he's got a full no trade clause. But he.
Yeah. This is only if you're trading Simmons, though.
But we're talking for Tyler Johnson. That can't happen. He's got a full no-trade clause. Can't happen.
I mean, you could tell him to lift it. He won't, but
he
you
won't.
Can tell him to. I mean, I don't know at that point. That's the only guy from that
Tampa's,
team that
I think Tampa's off. They're not. You're not going to trade him to Tampa.
I mean, I don't know much about their farm system to truly say that you can't trade him to Tampa. And Pierre LeBrun, who's really plugged in the hockey world, says that there's a good chance he could end up there, but that doesn't mean it definitely happens.
Yeah, it
depends
on LeBron.
What.
I like LeBron, but he used to also write for ESPN, and
well, there's a reason he doesn't.
Yeah, well,
but
ESPN is dumb and got rid of their best writer. But
yeah, but what was I gonna say? Yeah, so I still think you could. I don't really know what a good return from Tampa Bay would be.
What if What if St. Louis is on his list and we get, like, Jaden Schwartz?
I don't know if St. Louis is looking to buy, though, but, I mean, really.
They're making a push for the playoffs.
anybody that you could trade for that can have an impact, like if you're trading Wayne Simmonds, if we're talking about what we're doing with Simmonds, rather than who I'd like to get in a blockbuster trade, if we're talking about Simmonds, anybody who can have an impact this year and also the next, like, 2 to 3 years at the least, like, get a nice contract
Jaden
back.
Schwartz fits that.
Yeah, and that would be a good deal if the Blues were looking for that. I doubt they are, though, because
he's only has 3 goals on the year, so maybe we don't want him.
Yeah, but I doubt they would pull that trade anyway.
Yeah.
Jaden Schwartz used to be like their boy. I don't know, maybe, because he is 26.
We heard about Nashville. They're looking maybe Nashville. Who do you get in return from Nashville? Mm-hmm. Who are they going to give up? Because Arvidsson's playing out of his mind. Forsberg's a god.
It's tough. Whoever wants Simmonds, I think they, from the way it sounds like, they might have to overpay to get him. But yeah. I don't know. I don't know who
takes
him.
You know what's overpaying for him.
That's a tough one to actually pinpoint.
You know what's overpaying for him?
Hmm.
Trading out of his first round pick.
That's not going to happen, Drew. Literally have to hope that is Joe Sakic still GM?
No,
in Colorado?
I don't actually know.
You'd literally have to hope he's like doing a mountain's load of cocaine if that trade is going to go through.
Yeah, we'll trade Yuri Letera with him
because that's potentially Jack Hughes. Like,
it is potentially Jack Hughes. Well, yeah. Oh, general manager Joe Sakic. Yeah, Joe Sakic's still there.
Yeah, and I mean, like, but yeah, I think the Flyers should probably target, probably Stone.
A scoring winger. Yeah.
Yeah, scoring winger. Somebody that, I mean, he's not under contract for next year, but I think the Flyers would be a good situation for him, mm-hmm. and he'd want to re-sign here. But yeah. We definitely need a scoring winger. Absolutely.
What if we trade him to Boston?
I don't want to, no. I don't even want to think about that. I hate Boston, Drew. I don't even care if it makes sense.
What if we got...
Unless we're completely robbing Boston. Like, if they're giving us Pastrnak for Wayne Simmonds.
Yeah, that's not
okay. But unless we're doing, like, a ridiculous Drew trade with Boston, we're not. I don't want Wayne Simmonds to get a ball.
I would just like to point out that my hot take...
Mm-hmm.
Now has potential because the Blues are currently in a playoff spot.
I feel like everybody's in a playoff spot. Like every shitty team.
All the Western Conference teams are literally Anaheim. They're dead last in the West. And they're 7 points out of the playoffs.
That's ridiculous. like every garbage team. Like yeah, the Oilers blew it up. They fired their GM, but they still might make the playoffs.
The West is just a dumpster fire. The Flyers wouldn't be in the playoffs in the West, though. They'd still be 2 points out. So
yeah, but like, I don't know. I just this is the issue you get with divisions rather than just two clean conferences. But you know,
yeah, it still kind of works out the same. Kinda. Big forwards in free agency, not named Mark Stone and Panarin. Duchesne, which we kind of talked about. Jordan Eberle. Joe Pavelski is a UFA. These are all UFAs.
I bet you anything
Jeff Skinner.
Mm. Wait, is he? I could have sworn he re-signed with Buffalo, but he didn't.
No, he's...
Are you sure?
Yeah. He's right here. UFA.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. Gustav Nyquist. I would like Nyquist. On a short deal.
Yeah, he's...
What do you think about Gustav Nyquist? Okay, Ry, pay attention.
Sorry, I'm looking at this Skinner contract.
Yeah. Yeah, pay attention.
Gustav Nyquist.
We don't have
Dev
DeBrincat. Yeah,
he's a guy.
I love Gustav Nyquist, though.
He's how old is he? I feel like he's been around forever.
29.
Okay, so he's not that crazy old.
29, right. And this year he's got 47 points in 56 games, so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could look at the Red Wings as potential. I mean, there definitely are sellers, but I guess you could.
No, I'm thinking free agency.
Oh, never mind, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if he's willing to leave the Red Wings, sure. And it depends on what kind of deal you're willing to give him. But yeah. I think you know, why not? Just as long as it's nothing crazy. But you also have to think that a guy like that might end up getting something crazy in free agency.
I honestly, I wouldn't mind the Flyers going after Jake Gardner in free agency either. I like him. I think he'd fit well with us.
What's his Corsi?
12.
12? Okay, cool. 12. Yeah, perfect. You fit right next to Andrew McDonald.
Jake.
I don't know. I know Toronto has some issue with Jake Gardner. I don't know much about Jake Gardner other than the fact that Toronto literally wants him dead. So, yeah.
So makes sense.
I'd have to do a little bit more research before I'm like, all right, go get Jake Gardner.
Here he is. So you're talking about even strength, right? Is what I'm looking for.
Oh, are you actually looking this up? Because yeah. I can look this. Yeah. I can look
51.4 Corsi four at even strength.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a career 50.9.
Pretty good. Let me take a look at his.
He's got 27 points from the blue line. He had 52 points last year.
Why does Toronto hate him so much? He sounds very good.
Yeah, honestly, Flyers, trade him Simmons, get Jake Gardner.
Yeah, why
not? Andy McDonald, let's go.
That sounds fucking solid, if you're asking me. Dude, Toronto literally is the worst.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's weird. But,
I think I'll do a little bit more research on him. I'll check out his expected goals. But
yeah, maybe we'll talk about him next week in the Armchair GM. So the trade deadline is February 25th. It's currently February 11th. So it's going to be an interesting time in the NHL. Interesting couple of weeks coming up. Big couple 2 weeks, especially of hockey for the Flyers. Trying to make that playoff push, get into the playoffs, and see what we can do. Carter Hart is the savior. He is a god. Coach, you got anything to add?
The Flyers are putting, well, I guess the Wells Fargo Center are putting up a new 4K scoreboard.
Yeah,
next
it looks
year.
Really cool. 2020. Yep.
Mm-hmm. 2020. Never mind.
Yeah, 2020.
2 years.
Yep. So you can follow us on Twitter at @Wiz_Wit_Hockey. Follow myself at TheBigDrew92. Follow Devin at DevinS93. You can follow Kush at Flywalker1975. He's going to be doing a lot of tweeting because he's going to be home a lot, laid up with his broken ankle. Questions, comments, send us a DM like Dot did, or you can send us an email at WizWitHockey@gmail.com. We've been WizWitHockey. I've been Drew. He's been Kush. Come on.
All right, okay. Yep, catch you later.
All right, yep, okay, catch you later. All right, and Devin already said goodbye. Thank you all for listening. Y'all have a good night, and let's go Flyers.